Hey, Jake.
Benny.
You know how you brought on Sammy Dado the other week, on Fox Footy producer?
Good man, Sammy. So, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, great. He was great. So off air, tried to get a bit of goss out of him. You know, he's a footy producer on Fox Footy. Thought,
if these walls could talk, sort of.
If these walls could talk. So we said, all right, mics are off. Come on, give us some goss. Surely you've got something. Something that's not too incriminating, just a little bit of something. And he goes, nah, I don't think I've got, I don't really have much. Well, come on, you've got to have.
And just as a disclaimer, for that, I've known Sam for years and he was lying.
He was lying. Well, we got it out of him.
Somebody else is lying.
Somebody else, apparently. Because he said, actually, I've got something for you. He goes,
we rub our hands together too.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to have a Magoo scoop here. He goes, scoop.
No? Nah? Scoop?
Nah. We'll work on that.
We will work
on
that. If we ever get breaking news.
Well, this may not be the breaking news we were after, because he paused for a while and we were like, oh God, what's he got? He said, apparently, Stevie Wonder, not actually blind.
Yeah, that's big goss.
Yeah, so we did a bit of research ourselves. Yeah, it's quite known.
He's addressed Dado's claims, Stevie himself.
Has he?
As we can throw to now.
We're saying that you're not actually blind. Come on, you want to see me drive this car away?
Hell yeah, that'd be awesome! Except that a lot of people might get killed.
So, Sammy, I mean, please explain.
He's addressed the rumours, and Stevie Wonder is apparently blind.
Still blind, yeah.
Maybe we'll have to get him on the show.
Yeah, maybe we'll kick a footy to him, see if he catches it or not.
The Magoos. The Magoos.
Welcome to the round
the Magoos.
12
episode of the Magoos. Got that first time, which is nice. However you may consume us. Well, this time around,
audio
only.
So no visual, or if you're Jake,
still on YouTube.
Yeah, or if you're Jake's dad holding a cup up to the wall as we speak, probably.
Yes, just trying to get the unedited version, which is very similar and to the final product, which is pretty much just winged.
So no lightheartedness on tonight's show, I've heard. Thanks for having me back, by the way. I should have mentioned that nice and early.
We've been voided of backroom staff in a week where organisations have been moving people on.
Mm-hmm.
Cam and Jack are not here, but we do have a fill-in producer, if we can call him that. We've had a few fill-ins on the show of late, and third producer Matt joins us this evening. Matthew, welcome.
Jake, Ben. Great to be here.
Thank
you. Long-time listener, first-time producer.
Well, it seems anyone can do it. So
it's not too hard. Thank you for responding to that Gumtree ad, by the way.
Yeah, no worries.
So, okay, as I was saying, there's probably no beating around the bush here. We've been inundated, and I mean inundated, with people calling, people messaging us.
What number have they been reading?
Well, I can't give it out on its and they want to know. They don't. This, I don't even know why I'm here, because this should be just a solo episode on your thoughts, Jake, and your thoughts only on what has unfolded in the last probably 48 hours since we've been here.
The last 48 hours, Ben. Now, I don't want to make this entire show just about Carlton, because we also speak about them a lot. But so everyone speaks about them a lot. They're a newsworthy item, and you know, they sell papers, and people love to lay the boots in. They're one of the most successful teams in the history of the competition. I think that still lingers with a lot of different people, based on for many years Carlton beat up on a lot of sides. And
I don't remember those years.
No, I don't remember those years either. But
sure, it happened.
So yeah, Monday,
World War II also took place.
Monday, Carlton obviously sacked their coach Brendan Bolton, and I have been a member of the Carlton Football Club for 22 years of my 26 years. Gone to the footy for as long as I can remember, for every game I can go to, double figures attendances every year, and I am so bitterly disappointed with the whole regime that Kane Little and Mark Lagoudache have been allowed to manifest and the directors and the board, and it pains me to say it, Chris Judd.
Oh, boy.
And I cannot for the life of me work out how this is the course that they've taken. So they installed Brennabolt 3.5 years ago, and they said to the members and the supporters, stick with us, be bound by blue, right? We're on a journey together. 5 years, we're rebuilding this club from the bottom up, literally. We're going to have mass player turnover, 52 players they've turned over in that time. And now all of a sudden they're worried about the win-loss record. I don't understand where this can come, where it comes from to the point of, well, now all of a sudden win-loss is an issue. Like, so Carlton turned out 3 players on the weekend that had played more than 100 games, and one of them was Alex Fasola, who was terrible.
And be that,
you know, Alex's fault or the preparation or, you know, wherever he's at with his footy at the moment, that's probably a different story. But the side is so young, and, you know, like, and people bag Silvani, whatever, and you look at, I think that they've drafted quite well since Silvani and Bolton have come together. But the jury's still out on all those kids, you know. The oldest of them is 22. So, but they're playing these kids, and, you know, Patrick Cripps on the weekend was really well tagged by Dylan Clark.
Dylan Clark, second gamer. Yeah, big shout out.
And he did a really, really good job. But, you know, and people talk about, oh, where's the help for Cripps and that, whatever. Well, who's going to go in and, you know, put bodies on Merritt and Heppel and these guys? Like, I agree that Heppel was just, I mean, I was at the game and we were watching it, and he was just allowed to do
whatever he had his way, Heppel,
he
just
looked like he could do whatever he wanted. And but, I mean, you look at it and, you know, and people say, oh, you make Darcy Parrish look like a superstar. Well, we made Darcy Parrish look like a superstar because it was pretty much for him, he's an, like, in relative terms, he's an 18-year-old playing in the under-15s. Like, he's, you know, he's got a few more years of you know, conditioning into him, and he's playing against Paddy Dow and Sammy Walsh and Sam Petreski, you know, these slighter bodies who aren't, and Zach Fisher, you know, they're not going to be big bodies anyway. You know, they might develop into bigger players, but they're not going to be Patrick Cripps. They're not going to be the bulls around the ball and all that sort of stuff. But
so going back to your original point about the actual club doing this backflip.
9 days ago, we were told that everything was fine. Okay, we're sticking to the roadmap, whatever. We're not, you know, we aren't deviating from that. Okay, so what is the word worth of these people? Is now my, I understand that sometimes you need to pad for, you know, and you do need to support, but that can't change in a week based on one more result. When, you know, in a week where you've had the Dale Thomas stuff, you know, you're missing Simpson, Murphy. You know, these senior guys aren't playing. You don't have a lot of senior guys, and the ones that you do have aren't there. And I just can't for the life of me work out why it's now applicable to just pull the pin on Bolton and make him probably the greatest scapegoat.
It's a massive scapegoat.
It's just a bizarre decision.
Yeah, you're right. About the backflip the 2 weeks ago, everything's fine. We're not counting the win-loss record. It'd be like, you have a long-term partner and you pick your nose or something like that, and they tell you, don't worry, I don't mind the picking the nose thing. And then they dump you saying it's the picking the nose thing. It's like, hey, well, you told me
we were doing this together.
Yeah, that yeah.
You're going to watch me pick my nose.
Is it just the media have just gone too hard for too long, and then the board has just caved?
They've crumbled. They've under crumbled. Media pressure.
What's going? Like, I don't know.
From what I can, and again, been a Carlton supporter my entire life, and what I've often had frustrations with Carlton about is the old school Carlton. Is the power brokers who come in and they put the money in, so they get the say. And, you know, if we're not winning, then this is not what Carlton is. You know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. We've all had presidents of those, like at junior clubs, and you just they're the pits. Like, they know nothing about football.
Such a short term way of looking at, especially in the situation Carlton are in. But, you know, like you just can't look any further than the board and the president and the CEO. You know, these people who are being paid to make these decisions, I can't fathom how they think that their positions are still tenable.
Absolutely. Gary Lyon came out on the couch on Monday, and he slammed them, and slammed Chris Judd in particular. And he did tiptoe around it because I think, you know, they're sort of, I guess, in a way, buddies in the the media world.
In the same sphere.
In the same sphere. But he said the same thing. He's like, surely, if you're an honourable man, you got to go. And then Judd came out on Footy Classified and absolutely deflected and had a personal dig at Gary Lyon's personal life, which to me is a massive deflection. I thought Chris Judd was better than that as well. I don't think he's that type of person. Unless the banter's there, I don't think he's sort of into that. So there's got to be more answers there. What does Chris Judd do, by the way?
He's the director of football.
But what is that?
Well, I mean, it's just the boss of the operator. So
I'd say
Brad Lloyd is the head of football or whatever his title is. And then he's on the board. They've five of them or seven of them, whatever, however many there is. And then they've each got a section of the club that they oversee. So the big boss of one particular area.
It'd be his portfolio that when they have their board meetings, he reports on the football operations, which, you know, at the moment probably hasn't been very pleasant reporting.
But, yeah, I just can't see that. I don't see what they get out of it. Like, so as we've spoken about, and we've spoken about at length on this podcast before, you know, that I haven't, you know, you can't excuse, the last month by the Collingwood game has been ordinary.
Yeah.
You've got it, you go to the North Melbourne loss, which was dreadful.
And that was the first one. The excuses at that time was like, this is a one-off.
Yeah. And then they responded against Collingwood and you thought it was a one-off. GWS gave him a touch up, but I didn't, you know, again, GWS are really
excited. They gave us a touch up too. They're good.
Yes, us as well.
Yeah, they're very good side, GWS. Scary.
Matt's Melbourne, of course.
Yeah. And
for those listening to Matt speak about football for the first time, which
and for Jake's dad with the cup on the on the wall there.
And, you know, the trend was worrying, but it was a bad side that was out of form. So sides going out of form. West Coast had dipped their form a little bit early in the year and started to come back into it. So
Collingwood starting to dip a little.
When a bad side's out of form, it can be horrific.
It can be,
when a good side's out of form, it depends who they're playing and they might be able to still scrape across some wins.
Yeah.
When a bad side's out of form, things aren't going to be good. And especially when you lose a couple of pillars that you can't really afford to lose. Whilst I'm not the biggest rat for Mark Murphy or whatever, but at least he's done what he's done for 10, 12 years. So he knows the game and he knows how it works in the midfield and can provide some support for Patrick Cripps.
So does it, as a supporter then, like sometimes the change can be good, obviously, with a new coach coming in, but because it's happened five times now in a row, like five new coaches pretty much in the last, 12 years or so. Who's the president?
Mark Lagudashay.
Lagudashay. When he strictly said absolutely not when asked if he was stepping down, does that give you absolutely no hope? Because it obviously means the change isn't actually happening. It's just that coach.
There'll have to be a board challenge.
Has to be.
Someone will challenge from somewhere. They'll run it and they'll build a ticket and it won't have to be an overly impressive ticket.
No.
To knock over the and I mean, and the dust will settle and, but I don't see us getting any better. That's the other. I don't see us now coming out and we don't have the senior quality that North Melbourne do. I don't rate North Melbourne's list for what that's worth.
But you're right about the senior quality. We
don't have the senior pillars in there that can at least lift for a month and drag us some wins out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't think we've got that. But going back to a point I forgot to make before, you know, like we spoke about where Carlton's season was at and realistically we should have been 3-3.
That one stage.
Because we blew the Gold Coast game just by Mitch McGovern not being on the line. And, I mean, that's one moment in a game, of course, but that was the moment defining game. And then Hawthorn were up by 7 goals and fell in a hole. And then even still, for the want of 5 seconds, Harry McKay takes a mark after the sign as a shot to win it. So if we're 3-3, they're talking about how palpable the improvement is at Carlton based on a win-loss thing. So I understand that it's a win-loss industry, but when you're losing games by tiny margins, because even if we were, 1-10, if we were 3-7,
3-8,
like it's still, gee, that was awful. It's still that aspect of, well, there is improvement there because we would have won in the first month more games than we won last year.
Yeah.
And I know that we haven't, and it is a win-loss industry, I understand that, but when the losses are closer and then the Port Adelaide game was really close and then the Collingwood game, we let them all day except for when their cream rise to the top. Like, there's been enough palpable improvement to say that this is happening.
Yeah.
But then on the other side of it, like, I listened to the radio yesterday and hear Andy Marr talk about a conversation he had with a senior Carlton person years ago who said that we're going to bring Brendan Bolton in and we're going to do this list rebuild and we're going to start from the bottom and Brendan's going to teach these kids about football and he's going to teach them everything. And then at the back end of that 5-year tenure, well, hopefully in the back end of that 5-year tenure, we're going to bring in someone, a coach who's going to finish the job. We're going to bring in that senior, respected AFL figure who's going to come in and, you know, take this group of well-educated footballers who've had their grounding in the game to the promised land.
So they were serious when they said they were sticking to the plan.
Yeah.
So they've, you know, it's just, it just stinks. The whole thing stinks.
Yeah.
To,
it absolutely does.
And I just, I would, can't wait for the board challenge and, you know, like, because we've seen that sacking, that not sacking coaches and giving them the time, if you believe in what they can do in Buckley and Hardwick, and I understand we're further behind the eight ball than those clubs, but I mean,
but both of those guys you just mentioned were close.
Dead man walking.
Were real close to getting the
and
chop.
It was the pressure. It was the media pressure. And the clubs didn't blink because they'd set, they'd changed the way that they were operating.
So my question...
They knew and they were in it together. They weren't patting each, they weren't pissing each other, pissing down each other's back and telling them it was raining. They were being fair dinkum about the fact that, well, we're in this together. So if, if Hardwick doesn't work out, then Peggy, whose last name's escaped me.
Yeah.
O'Neill?
Is it?
Could be.
I mean, it could be a lot of things. Peggy Nelson?
Peggy Olson from Mad Men?
No. Peggy, that's really poor. And Brendan Gale, you know, who was the the head honcho of Richmond, you know.
Yeah.
They knew that their ticket rode on Damien Hardwick as well because they were the ones that put him in. They didn't come out and, you know, like say, oh, he's gone, but my job's really safe. Like, don't worry about that. Like, Mark Lagoudishay covered himself.
He did.
In absolutely no glory in that
absolutely
on Monday.
Yeah.
And Brendan Bolton walks away as the genuine character he is and unfortunately distraught but with a smile on his face.
So what must irk you the most out of that is sure Carlton as a team have been shit for a while and Essendon have been too as a team have been shocking to watch for a long time. To get that from the club, from the board, the actual... As you're saying, you need that trust from them because that wasn't given. Do you think that just makes it that little bit more disheartening as the club and the team they're treated as two separate entities right now, Carlton?
Well, I mean, you can't take anything they say on for what it is.
And what about the next coach coming forward? Well, that's like Lagoudishay just throws him under the bus like that.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I just don't know how they can continue on in their positions because...
They can't.
You know, like we've got all these record memberships and all this sort of stuff. Like, I just don't... Yeah. I can't work out for the life of me how these people can stay in their... And if it is Chris Judd, like, then, you know, so be it, unfortunately, because, you know, there's a lot of Carlton people on Twitter who were, you know, baying for the coach's blood, whatever, and then they turn on Silvani and all those sort of things. And I think that short-sightedness is what got us to where we were when we had to start the rebuild
with
the house and whatever. He came in and he...
I reckon Mick Malthouse was the one who... I think getting Malthouse in, I think the club, again, may have not been completely honest with themselves. They go, we've got Malthouse. Mm-hmm. We could, you know, have a crack at something here.
All of a sudden, like, we need to be playing for now. Because
and it's been dishonest. It's completely dishonest because your mastermind still need to have the cattle.
I seem to recall, Jake, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when Bolton came in, you mentioned old Carlton before. This was sold as, this is an old Carlton, it's a new way forward. It was the first time they'd ever had a proper selection committee for a coach. They said, we're going to stay the course with the rebuild, blah, blah, blah. And it just seems like they've gone, well, that's too hard, and just gone away from it.
Yeah, and...
They've blinked.
They have. That's the term that I use.
It's weak as piss, frankly.
It absolutely is weak, and they have blinked.
Yeah.
3.5 years into a 5-year rope, and that will be their demise. That will be the demise of the board and the president and whoever else, because, you know, they won't... Enough good people, I don't think, will stand for it, and there will be a significant challenge. And, you know, but the other thing is that these blokes are on a hot, and there are women on the board too, so not these blokes, but these people making the decisions are on a hiding to nothing, I believe, now from sacking Brendan Bolt, because I'm going to unpack a few things here. So Brad Scott will coach Carlton next year.
You reckon?
I'll give you that between the eyes now. Because where am
I going to say between you and me? Like, what do you know?
We're recording.
So you know.
So
this is hotter than Sam Datto's scoop.
I'm under the quite believable impression that Brad Scott...
Well, apparently Soss was having a cup of tea with Ross Lyon today.
It was Barramundi.
It was Barramundi, actually, yeah.
Oh, was it?
As broken by Mark Stevens exclusively.
It was Barramundi. But wasn't the rabbit, at least.
The terrain. Lost my train.
So I completely threw you off. I apologise about that.
Too much humour. So the list, Carlton's list, this group of young players will come through together, and they may not all make it, but they will have enough people from this, you know, core of obviously Cripps, and then, you know, Wiedering's playing good footy. Charlie Curnow's going to be a star. Harry Mackay, I've got Mitch McGovern, who's the same age as Patrick Cripps. And then, you know, whilst I think the ruck might be an issue, but then you've got, you know, Sam Petrescu, Seaton, Paddy Dow, Lockie O'Brien, who I'm still not fully sold on, Walsh, Liam Stocker, who I think is going to be a really good player. But again, Carlton have totally screwed that up because he's played four games and he isn't a fully fledged superstar. So, you know, we'll judge the Adelaide trade based on, you know, round 11 of season one of Liam Stocker. Yeah. If Liam Stocker goes on to be a 250-game player and the perfect midfielder, then that's a good...
Yeah, trade. Is that who you got for Gibbs?
Nah, so that's who we traded our first round this year. So that's why Adelaide this year, and we've got their first round pick. So, like the optics of that on base level obviously look silly. But if Liam Stocker turns... So we're going to get two players for the price of one pick. And, I mean, who knows what we end up doing with...
You never know with that pick as well.
Yeah, like, I mean, and you just honestly don't know. But that's for the annals of time to work out. That's not for the short term when...
It'll be like the Chris Judd trade, if you will.
Yeah.
And the one that's still being played out in West Coast.
Yeah, and, I mean, you can still debate that.
Yeah.
Whether or not, you know, that was... That's
probably... Well, do you debate it? Well, can you debate it now as a board member as well as a player?
Yeah, like how much influence does he have, does he have on the club?
Yeah, exactly.
But so Brad Scott comes in and he's coaching Carlton next year, and I believe the board are on a total hiding to nothing, because if these group of players come through and they don't reach the heights that they're predicted to, they can say, oh, you know, we got our drafting wrong again, this, that, the other. And when they come through, they go, we made the correct decision with Brendan Bolton. So as a disgruntled Carlton fan, I obviously want them to win as many games as possible and be as successful as possible, which I genuinely think that they will be.
Is there a butt coming?
But
always a butt.
But they, you know, then the board can sit back and say, well, we made the right move getting rid of Brendan Bolton. But it's just not going to be, it's not going to be in, I don't believe when it stacks up side by side that that will be the right decision to get rid of him, which, I mean, you know, and all power to these Carlton people who are used to success and have seen success. And, you know, like, Carlton had these short-term plans all the way through my core of, you know, developing love for football and Carlton. And, you know, I knew them to be quite good when I was pretty young.
Yeah.
And when I could fully understand the game and fully got involved in it, like...
I'm still learning.
I mean, we all are. I was learning Monday because I was certain they wouldn't sack him. But, So my dad, again, a lifelong Carlton fan, 7 flags they'd won.
He's got the clipboard out, by the way.
Yeah, this, didn't work. 7 flags before it was 25, my dad had seen. So I'm 26, so it was a comparable age. So at the age of 26, he'd been alive for 7 Carlton flags. I've been alive for 1, and at the time I was 3 when Carlton won in 95, and from then I've seen 5 wooden spoons, potentially with a 6th one coming up this year. So the old school doesn't work in new school football.
No.
And they've got to start to change their thinking, and we thought that they had, but I think that it might be the same old Carlton at the moment, and it's irked me.
So, absolutely, it would irk me too. Why Brad Scott? What has he proved? I know he's gone to 2 prelims, I get that, with a pretty good list. I mean, they weren't, probably both times, they weren't expected to get that far. But why is that enough to hang your hat on to get this job?
Well, I think that they're just not going to start again in the terms of going with an unproven coach. So he'll be the best available proven, want of a better term. Well, he is a proven coach. Okay, and maybe that's just me rationalising the fact that he's going to be coaching Carlton.
I did see one Nuffy last week saying when Brad Scott stepped down how silly it was to let him go because he's a twin. I don't know if you saw this post.
I did see that.
And his twin has won one flag at Geelong already and possibly another this year, and they think alike. So you've effectively gotten rid of a premiership coach.
A two-time premiership coach at the end of the year.
It's just, yeah. But so he comes in and he'll be coaching Carlton, and because I don't think there'll be any other options out there.
Nah.
I think Ross Lyon will stay over in Fremantle. John Longmire might be a chance, but then where else do you go if Brett Ratten, I mean... Again, if hearing is believed,
a lot of people saying bring Ratten back. Why?
Actually, but Mark Lagudisha was on the board that sacked him, so I can't see that happening.
Well, probably he wouldn't want to.
Yeah,
Ratten. That, yeah,
that's the other thing as well. But
I mean, Paul Roos categorically said on the couch on Monday that he will not be doing it.
Did he though? He always dances around the question.
He did.
And never
he did
directly says no. He says something along the lines of, I'm just not in the headspace to be doing that
right now.
So gives himself the out later. He can say, well, I wasn't at the time.
Yeah, he's good. He's an expert at that, isn't he?
And then he walks away with a couple of big sacks of cash and goes and builds another house.
But I do like what they've done with, even though Melbourne obviously having not the year that they thought they would have, but I did like that, you know, hand it over the reins, you know, build it up, literally get rid of who, like, you know, make a mastermind out of that. And then hand it over. I do like that model. Is that something you can see happening there?
I think that they might be not too far past it, but I think that that will stall their these masterminds plan, I think, a little bit more. I don't think that they'll... I think they're looking for their next premiership coach now, whereas last time it now appears evident that they probably weren't. They weren't looking for someone to win the flag. They were looking for someone to lay the foundations. And at the time, Brendan Bolton was... you know, the one that they thought that would come in and teach them and lay that really solid groundwork and education in the game. And it'll come in with someone, whether or not they've played the game at the highest level, you know, that tends to, people tend to say it doesn't matter, but it tends to be the people that, that get boosted up.
How do you think Mick Malthouse feels in all this?
Probably angry, I guess. He's been angry for...
He does yell at clouds, apparently.
Vindictive.
Yeah. Because you could definitely argue when he came, he brought over Daisy Thomas on $750,000.
You wouldn't think that he's done anything wrong, Nick.
Of course he wouldn't. Of course he wouldn't. But if you look at the list and who he brought over and who he traded, etc., he doesn't look good. Like Bolton was put on the back foot when he first started. Like, he was not given...
Well, he's been there for 4 years and the list has gotten younger every year.
Yeah, that was the weird thing as well on the weekend, how you guys were slowly progressing, and then wasn't that the youngest team you've put on a field?
Yeah, I dare say so. Yeah, it'd have to be.
In a long time. Carlton. It's all happening. Get down to Carlton.
Let's never talk about him again.
Well, I'm sure we will.
Let's just go out and win some games of footy, and then they'll appoint Brad Scott as coach.
Yeah. Do you put money on them this weekend?
Nah, not at all. No. It's a different kettle.
It's a different kettle. It's, as you said, it's not like the North are capable of that.
I mean, although the word is that Simpson and Murphy may both return, and Dale Thomas had a good game in the VFL, so they might come back in, and you know, that might rally something. But yeah, they're. I mean, I wouldn't. That based on their last start, if they were a horse, you wouldn't back them. So despite the change in trainers, yeah. I'm not sure I'm
putting
my money.
No, I like it.
But I would be betting on Brad Scott to be the coach of Carlton.
Interesting.
325 with Ladbrokes, gamble responsibly.
325.
Can we talk about something else? Let's get into the rest of the show.
Let's do it, I guess.
Let's go.
Right, Benny, we've got the heavy stuff out of the way. We're going to go through everything else that happened last round. I've got my trademark zing back in my voice.
Good, I hope you do, because it did get a little, but you know what? You deserve it. You deserved a vent.
I was very sad.
You were. I saw your tweet. It was well constructed.
Yeah. Go and follow me on Twitter too if you're not already.
Yeah, Jake Lambert 23. Yeah. Wow. I noticed that all the family members have a different number in their name. Have you noticed that?
My family.
All your family members.
Yeah, well, it's a differential between like named people on the socials.
Carry on.
What number do you have in yours? 01. You have a number?
Do I? Oh, on Twitter, yeah, because there's some guy from Kentucky named Ben Franzini.
That's what the numbers are.
The only Ben Franzini. There's two of us in the world.
That's got to be incorrect.
But no, number one.
There's two Ben Franzinis in the whole world.
Yeah.
Park that. Write that down, Matt. We're going
to write it down. Yeah. We'll check it up. What do they call the guy on Triple M? They're like the stats guy.
H2O.
They give him a hard time, don't they? Yeah, they just...
Because they're bullies.
They are actually bullies, but they're like, look that up. And he just like spends 8 hours looking up some stat. He's like, don't worry, I don't need it anymore.
Yeah, actually, the 13th inside 50 of last week's.
Anyway, what are we doing?
Very good. Well, we're going to put Matt to the test here. We're going to, obviously, that Carlton stuff was very long, very heavy.
He looks a bit nervous over there. Should we bully him?
We should bully him.
Quick hands.
You're fitting right in, my man.
So we're going to go through the big topics of the week, the other big topics of the week, what we saw, what we liked with three-man weave. So, Matthew, over to you.
Okay, first one. Topic very close to my heart. Goal-kicking, Wiedemann versus Walters.
It's interesting, isn't it? Clutch Walters does it again.
Yeah, he's a gun, isn't he?
And old mate Sammy Wiedemann, who Jordan Lewis said, you know, he was watching at home, Jordan, backed him to kick it. He's been kicking beautifully, and the occasion got to him.
He is normally a beautiful kick.
I'm not sure Brian Taylor saying that the Melbourne players were too nice to him after he kicked the point.
I heard that.
What are you going to do? Like, point at him and laugh? And
what was the reason behind that? BT. He
hadn't said anything in a while.
Yeah, he probably hadn't,
I mean, the set shot goal kicking is getting worse year on year, but it's just refreshing when you... I mean, the goals Walters is kicking are not that difficult, but they... I mean, when they're to win a game, obviously the...
But that Wiedemann one was... Okay, Matt, you were a Melbourne supporter. You're sitting there watching it. Are you confident?
I was watching it at the pub with a couple of mates, and I said, write it in now. It's a certain goal. And I looked at the clock and I said, we've won. I was 100% like a true Melbourne supporter, right? That he was going to kick it.
Yeah, he had
as I said, he's a beautiful kick.
Had your Aaron Williams on, cheese platter.
No, it was just a...
Go number 26.
Yeah.
Dingy little pub in Coburg.
Yeah, well, what was the...
I think
was
I was wearing $20 Kmart shoes or something.
Okay, all right, so, not a Melbourne supporter. This just didn't... Yeah, no, but you're right. I heard a really good point about training for goal kicking, that they need to start doing it under fatigue, and they need to start doing it more game style. So instead of having six in a row, you have one, then you keep training, and then you have one 15 minutes later.
I think Nick Riewoldt said he started doing that sort of halfway through his career. Remember he went through a patch where he wasn't kicking very well for goal? Yeah, and he started doing that sort of training.
And that... Yeah, well, there you go.
I don't know if his stats got any better.
I was going to ask. I thought you were going to go on with that. Thanks, Chewman. So what do we got next?
Next one, goal review system, Walters and Oscar Allen.
Couple of...
huge.
You can't believe it, can you?
If it didn't happen to Collingwood, who were sitting nice and pretty in that top four, if it was more of a team...
Imagine that happened to Carlton Bolton.
Well, the club had the club under law had the opportunity to actually review that decision, but they obviously said, "Don't worry about it." I mean, it's Collingwood, so they're playing good footy. They don't need that win.
How the AFL haven't gotten this right is the biggest.
It's crazy. Like, how can it's a? I say this week in week out. It's $1 billion industry. They're literally playing games in China, which was I think we'll get to in a minute.
We will get there.
Yeah, but. How can the TV that you're watching have that and then not the guy who can see it as well? Like, how does that come out later?
Isn't it something it's a different feed? Like, the broadcaster has to give it on to the review person or something?
Why?
You just have a bunker like the NRL do, wouldn't you? And you just sit in an operations office somewhere and, you know, there's... And then we see the footage that they see and it's all good and... But, yeah, what a shock the AFL.
That's a good cricket review, actually, just made me think of it. The guy kept saying forward. Forward.
Because he was going back.
Too much, take it back. Okay. So, there's rather lengthy one here, bit to get through.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints' trip to Shanghai, which on the rundown sheet is listed as horror. So, do you want me to give you a couple, or do you just want to
just go for it? You're talking about the in-flight, the entertainment.
Well, the players and coach got sick. The captain breaks the leg. Port wins. Pies were $15. Apparently,
and you thought Carlton had a bad week.
They've got their coach for now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Their runner Tory's hammy in the coach's sprint.
Yeah, Chad Gorn sucked.
Did he?
He's the Port runner, but a runner Tory's hammy.
Just heaps happened. The crowd, was a sellout, apparently. They had a castle in the middle of it going on there. Some sort of a knight's tale type setup.
It was a knight's
tale. There was jousting going on in the background somewhere.
I saw something that with the China population, their attendance, if it was in relative terms of the Australian population, it would have been if 570 people attended an AFL game.
I love relative stats.
So good.
But St Kilda, what do they do? I mean, the gastro and stuff, you can't help, but flying Geary over, that was...
What?
Surely that was just...
Silly.
That's just a silly mistake. I mean, is it not, though?
It's got nothing to do with his leg, does it?
Well, apparently it does, with that sort of syndrome. Now, I...
himself in the leg.
Like, yeah, but apparently... Okay, but this is if you're reading up into that... What's it called, the something syndrome?
Compartment.
So apparently it's a lack of oxygen right to that area. Mm-hmm. So that area can also be affected by lack of oxygen to the other area. Then you add that with 30,000 feet in the air with a high pressure there. Mm. Who knows, the other leg wasn't a little bit weaker on the day.
Just sounds like a simple place of wrong place, wrong time.
Could be.
Shouldn't have taken him.
Find out more on next week's Magoo Minardi.
Yeah, right.
This next one, actually quite topical with the coaching change.
Ree
Shaw and his great coaching debut.
North Melbourne.
I like Ree Shaw. Don't like North Melbourne.
He seems pretty quirky, doesn't he? Mm. But did you know that... So he's 37 years old, Ree Shaw. Speak about Magoo Minardi. He's Ree Shaw, 37 years old. He's North Melbourne's 37th ever coach.
Oh, God.
And in his first game...
No way.
They won by what?
37 points.
No.
There's your Magoo Minardi, boys.
Oh, he's literally dropped his mic.
The mic. We'll have to edit that.
Wow, yeah, that's an expensive microphone, Jesus.
There's also, just a query, they did focus on it. Did he eat a lot of junk food during the game?
They focus on it, that's all I've seen. All I saw throughout the coverage was him
making sure.
Milk bottles and snakes, and BT was losing his mind over it. Like,
that's because BT, if he does that and doesn't exercise afterwards, he puts on weight. But Ree Shaw, probably active, he's allowed to eat what he bloody wants. Clarko eats like footlongs and shit.
The question is posed on the rundown, is he about to pull a Stuart Dew? But I don't think that's accurate. Stuart Dew was already fat before he started coaching.
Very good. Very good.
Richmond fan banned for 3 weeks for calling an umpire a green maggot. Thoughts?
There'll be no one at the footy in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, tell you what, especially Richmond supporters. Just touching on Richmond, by the way, is there a more popular club getting around? And when I say popular, I'm talking about Nova 100 popular. I'm talking 100,000 yes. members, 36 rock up on a Friday night.
Bandwagon is what you're saying, Ben.
Oh, wow, that's a long way of saying that. Even.
You know who else has a huge bandwagon? Hawthorn.
Yeah.
Enormous.
Yeah, haven't they dropped off?
So essentially anyone who's been relatively successful in recent years.
I'll give Richmond credit. They do have a bigger, like, general loyal fan base than Hawthorn do. If Hawthorn had a period of those 35 years between finals wins like Richmond, no good. They wouldn't have any fans.
I tend to agree with that.
I like it.
Hot take.
Geez, nice and short and sharp points here. Razor Ray got hit in the nuts.
He did. Well, he really copped it. I think it was Dylan Grimes.
Was it?
Wound up with a kick off the ground and straight into the meat and two veg.
Around the old agate, eh?
And then, of course, in true fashion, Razor Ray plays it up and signals to the crowd. And
his voice didn't drop. Is it play on? Or
he's on Roaming Brian later on laughing about it.
I've got maybe an unpopular like making opinion. Them. I don't mind Razor Ray.
Yeah.
I just don't mind him.
Said it a couple of times.
Doesn't take himself too seriously.
Look, I've listened to him on a couple of podcasts now. He sounds like a really good bloke, but at the same time, shouldn't be hearing from him.
He was on a podcast of a friend of the show.
Yeah, if you listened, I've actually said that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. No, sorry, I think I missed that one.
No, it's all good. But yeah, that was a great podcast that I was referring to. But my point is, even I don't care how good of a bloke you are, these guys shouldn't be becoming famous. I think it's dangerous for the game. And pay him a full-time wage. Make it full-time.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
You and me, same page. Keep going.
What did we think of... the Lions school kids from Ashgrove, which is probably the Brisbane equivalent of sort of a Scotch or a Melbourne grammar, doing that chant at three-quarter time.
Big cheerio to all the listeners, of course, from those schools.
Yeah, say howdy doody.
Old Scotchians. An old Grammarians.
Well, I actually didn't see this one. What were they doing?
They just sort of
get it out.
It's like a war cry. Would you call it, Jake? No,
a war cry. Like a Kathmandu jacket war cry type setup.
I'm not really sure what the go was with it, but.
Well, I'm a little bit angry. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but it makes me angry.
I've seen it, and I don't know what I saw.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, you know.
It's always something. It's just white male privilege, isn't it?
Well, yeah. When you're on the Carlton board, yes. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
We've already covered this, but, pies in Shanghai cost $14.66.
So
I believe.
It obviously depends on what's relative. And, I mean, I'm the last person that can talk about economics and finances and stuff, but...
But well, here we are.
Go on.
Well, I mean, if everything else is more expensive, like, is that converted to AUD?
It just says dollars, not yen, so I'm assuming it's AUD.
Mind you, you're reading off a run sheet that was from our normal producer, Jack, who's not exactly an economist himself.
Then reread the run sheet and thought, I can't turn up tonight.
But he's been on pies for a couple of weeks now.
He just keeps wanting to.
One pie didn't have meat in it. These pies are too expensive. It's like the Three Bears, this bloke.
What's the third one? The
just right, right, hopefully. Yeah, hopefully he gets right. It
14.66.
Hey, boys, been in the cattery last week. The pie was great.
Yeah, I reckon he's a Mrs. Max.
Paid $4 for it.
Yeah, he's a Mrs. Max shill, that bloke, I reckon.
All right, last one for quick hands.
There it is.
The ladder is a palindrome.
Is that right? Has anyone checked that? We're just assuming that's correct.
Has anyone told me what does that mean?
Yeah, you know what, Jake?
I don't know what that means.
No, I actually genuinely don't know what that means.
You should explain it for Ben.
I'm sure there's one or two viewers. A palindrome in general
is a word that is spelt the same forwards as it is backwards. So what this would mean is that the top teams, obviously 10 and 1, and Carlton on the bottom are 1 and 10, and then
the whole way through
itself.
I thought you were talking about the word ladder. I was thinking Radel is definitely not a palindrome.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to access the
app. So like Hannah. Hannah.
Race car, Glenelg.
Pity Jack's phone isn't really operational at the moment, or we could have checked this out.
I'm trying to get the ladder up. This ladder is not an extended one. This one is.
This makes for good podcast.
Great content, this, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is a palindrome at the moment, the ladder.
Wow.
All right.
Yes.
So if you're sitting around, you know, directly from 8 to like in the middle.
Why are Carlton highlighted grey in that ladder at the bottom? Is that because they're my team?
Could be.
Does the app know that?
I think it does.
So I have to plug that in.
I always get more Essendon news and I'm like, I don't need that match.
Yeah, no.
It's too much if you ask me.
Yeah, so the ladder is a palindrome. So I would say that's actually quite cool. It's a little bit of an anomaly, and Matt, a great way, well placed on the rundown by you, a great way to finish off your inaugural three-man weave.
No worries, it was a pleasure.
You look very pleasured.
Benny, Matt, the end of another show. Started off pretty heavy, but I feel like we worked our way back to our brand later on in the show. Round 12 means the buys are here, so we got Port Adelaide, St Kilda, the Western Bulldogs, your boys Essendon,
yep,
Freo and Hawthorn all sitting out this week. But that doesn't mean there aren't some cracking games.
Absolutely, there's not.
The Friday night sees Richmond and the Cats, and then there's also the Crows and the Giants before, of course, Monday, the big freeze at the G, which we would be remiss not to mention.
Hopefully Melbourne turn up.
I think Collingwood Melbourne is a huge. I mean, it is a big game anyway. But I think that the D's. I think that they're slowly working back to something. And I'm still happy to say that their season is far from over.
Well, I did see as well. Collingwood recently quarters one has been quite low too. So who knows?
Do you know how many they've won? Because I'm just hoping it's. You know, exactly.
It was like they'd won like 10 quarters in the last. I don't know whatever the time slot was, but it was middle of the road.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I think that, that that'll be a big game. And, I mean, whilst Melbourne are getting closer, they need to start. I still think, as I said, they're a chance to keep the season alive.
But I reckon anyone's a chance.
Winning some games, the D's, Matty. So hopefully your boys can kick into gear Monday for your sake.
Yes, and hopefully
the Blues on Saturday afternoon against Brisbane can show something under our new Lord and Savior, David Teague.
And hopefully Essendon enjoy their bye for your sake, Ben.
I think they will. I think it's come at a good time. A couple of, soft tissues getting around and some injuries at
and
the same
also,
time.
Also, Ben. A big thank you for not really making too much of the Carlton Essendon result.
No, I won't lie. I thought about it for a long, long time.
You saw that it would probably. And
it might have broken
some sort
you.
Of altercation, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. I thought about it for a long, long time, and I thought, nah, just let Jake vent. This is different. It's not just a win. Mm. But yeah.
Yeah, no.
But you were great. Even though you know you're in this position, you've been great tonight.
I should run for the board.
You stood up to the questioning.
Should I go? Just should like, I run for the board?
Run for the board.
Run for the board.
Take me with you.
So don't forget, Magoo's viewers, tell your friends about us too. Also, word of mouth is great.
Mm.
I believe that's what a lot of small business build their
empire on, yeah.
Word of mouth. Yeah. Tell your friends, but also like, share, subscribe, review us, please, on your iTunes app,
iTunes is gone now as of today, isn't
iTunes
it?
iTunes is gone.
Oh, does that mean...
Hopefully Apple are putting more...
does that affect us, does it?
More people on my... no, there's still a podcast app, so they're just diluting their brand. But hopefully they're putting some of their technical engineers on trying to fix the software problem on my iPhone X, which has been absolutely disgraceful for the last few weeks.
Yeah. Right.
So if Brendan Bolt was under heat, then Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, is under more pressure because...
Well, once this podcast drops...
And he also looks a bit like Chris Jardine, the other white ball guy who also our Carlton.
It's going to be ironic because I'm using an Apple platform to bag Apple, so I might not turn up next week.
They won't know.
I'm away in the bottom of a river somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, hope not.
Hopefully you don't.
Matt, thank you for joining
the make for a good Magoominati.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Jake at the bottom of the hour. See you guys.
See you guys.
See ya.
The Magoos. The Magoos. Magoos. The Magoos.